Chapter 11. The Cave. On the map, the waterhole looked quite near to the hotel, but it wasn't near at all. The ground was full of rocks, and the vegetation hurt Julie's legs. An hour later, Julie was only halfway to the waterhole, and she was exhausted. Finally, at the top of the hill, Julie could see the waterhole between the trees, in the valley below. It looked very pretty in the late afternoon sun, and Julie smiled when she saw it. But her smile disappeared when suddenly she heard a low growl. Before she could move, she saw a lion moving towards her on the hill. Julie's legs became weak, and she fell back onto the ground. She was very frightened. The lion was getting nearer and nearer. It would reach Julie in a few seconds. For Julie, every second was a lifetime. She closed her eyes and imagined her parents, her friends, and all the people she loved. She might never see them again. The lion took a final jump towards her. Suddenly, in midair, it cried out in pain and fell on the ground, not far from her. Julie lay on the ground, listening to her heart. After a few seconds, she opened her eyes and looked around her. The lion was lying on the ground, and next to the lion stood Sir Kimba.
"Julie, are you all right?"
Sir Kimba approached her anxiously.
"Yes, I think so,"
Julie said with a trembling voice.
"Did you save me? I can't believe that I'm alive. What happened?"
"I shot the lion," Sir Kimba explained. "Don't worry, I didn't kill it. It's just a tranquilizer. The lion will wake up again in a few hours."
Julie was perplexed.
"But what are you doing here?" she asked.
"I followed you," Sir Kimba said. "After I lost my job, I heard Mason talking to that ranger, Ben."
"He's not the ranger," Julie said.
"Yes, I know. I heard them talking, and I realized it was all a lie. I tried to find you, but you weren't in your room. I knew that you were leaving on the afternoon bus to Nairobi, so I waited for the bus. Then I saw you leaving the bus, so I followed you."
"Wow, you're a good detective," Julie laughed. "I'm very happy you followed me. You saved my life. Thank you."
"You are welcome," said Sir Kimba. "Now, can you tell me what you are doing here in the middle of the reserve? Isn't your flight to Ireland leaving tonight at 9 o'clock?
"Yes, but I decided to change my plans," said Julie.
She explained about her visit to Mason's office and showed Sir Kimba the map. "This may be our evidence that Mason is guilty," she said. "We must find this cave."
"Come on then, we haven't got much time," Sir Kimba said. "The sun is going down and it'll soon be dark. We have to move quickly."
It was getting dark when Julie and Sir Kimba got to the waterhole. They followed the map, and soon they came to a big rocky area.
"Hey, I think that's it. That's the cave," Julie said, pointing to a hole in one of the rocks.
Julie and Sir Kimba walked into the cave. It was very dark inside.
"I can't see anything," said Sir Kimba.
"Just a minute."
Julie took out her night vision binoculars and looked around. A bat flew into her face and then disappeared. After a while, she said,
"There's nothing here, just bats."
"Come on, let's get out of here," Sir Kimba said.
"Wait, the cave continues deeper," Julie said.
"No, don't go any deeper," Sir Kimba said in a very serious voice. "You don't know what's in there."
"Just a few more steps," said Julie.
Her voice became weaker as she walked further into the cave. Sikimba waited for a few minutes and heard nothing. Then suddenly, he heard Julie shout,
"Oh, I can't believe this!"
"What is it?" Sikimba asked.
"Ivory tusks," said Julie, running back to Sikimba. "Here, take my binoculars and go and see. There are a lot of them in there."
Just then, they heard voices outside the cave. Quickly, they ran to hide behind a rock in the cave.